two-way tug-of-war between Mayor John Cranley, the city manager, Harry Black, and Cincinnati City Council has exposed structural weaknesses in the current system of city government and released a torrent of suggestions for change, a recall option in the charter, a return to two-year terms, an executive mayor to clarify who's in charge. Jerry Newfarmer is a person who has perspective. Mr. Newfarmer served as the city manager of Fresno in San Jose, California, and here in Cincinnati, Ohio. In 1993, he and then-mayor Dwight Tillery got sideways, ultimately resulting in council and the mayor voting Newfarmer out of his job. In 1994, Mr. Newfarmer founded the government management firm, Management Partners, which he continues to head as president and CEO. Jerry Newfarmer joins us this afternoon, along with WVXU politics reporter Howard Wilkinson, for a look at the various forms of Cincinnati city government has taken through the years. To join our discussion, call 513-419-7100 or email us at wvxu.org. Jerry, Howard, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Lots of changes over the last 20 years since you left City Hall.
Yep.
How would you summarize those as where we've ended up after all of these little changes?
Well, I thank you for the opportunity to talk about this stuff. It's near and dear to my heart. As you know, I go around the country working with big cities all over the place, regardless of the form of government or the structure. So I know a lot about how it's done in a lot of places. In the late 90s, there was a lot of concern in town about the city council being kind of a catfight every week. We elected our council at large. The highest vote getter was the mayor, and that nobody knew who was going to get elected. So that was whatever happened. And there was a lot of concern that the council needed more stability, needed more sense of purpose. The view of the business community, which tried a couple of times to sell the strong mayor form, was that the charter, the structural problems were the problems. And so, and I worked behind the scenes with the president of the chamber and others to fashion an approach. And what we did was we kept the idea of a professional manager, the city manager, but we made a number of changes in the charter to strengthen the role of the mayor. In particular, to position the mayor so that he or she could provide effective leadership with the rest of the council so that it wouldn't be a catfight anymore. The mayor would be in a position to guide and to appoint committees.
In terms of appointing committees and heads of committees and that sort of thing.
And vice mayor and things like that. That was a rebalancing. You know, every large city in America that has a professional manager, and that's about half of them, has rebalanced somehow. And I was city manager in San Jose. San Jose's rebalanced. Most of the big cities have done that some way or another. We call it a hybrid, but it's a variation on a theme.
Okay.
And that was one of the things that, you know, in the days when they had the top vote getter become the mayor. I mean, it was absolute bedlam.
Yeah.
Let's remember that wasn't the way the charter was written in 1924.
Oh, no. Absolutely.
That
came along.
Charlie Lukin wanted that one.
Exactly.
I've always described it as King Me. I'm Charlie.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, because he was going to win the popular vote.
It was the Charlie Lukin Mayoral Act, whatever it was, 1989 or whenever it was passed.
Yeah.
But it caused nothing but bedlam because all these people did was try to walk over each other to become the top vote getter in the next council election.
It was the dynamic among
except for Bobby Stern.
Except for that's the exception to
the class act. No,
yes.
Bring back
right. Yes, please.
The council as a whole, the nine members, the ones at the top who finished in the election at the top in the last election. We're always competing, as you say, Howard, to be the top vote getter next time so I could be mayor.
Right.
And the ones at the bottom, the 7, 8, and 9s, were competing with each other so they would get reelected. So you had, for 2 years running, everybody's running for the next election instead of paying attention to business.
Well, but what we have now, and there's been some changes since then with this direct election of the mayor,
right?
4-year terms for both mayor and council, and one of the things I think that is revealed in the current situation is it doesn't seem there's any place that the buck really stops. Who is ultimately in charge?
Well, the reality is, it is as it was before. The mayor and the city council are in charge. The city manager is still the CEO, the head of the executive branch of the government, who works for the mayor and city council. So that part hasn't changed. What's happened is that the role of the mayor got pumped up. So now we have some problems in the current era. I think 4-year terms was a great idea. I mean, we needed that kind of stability so people aren't running against each other all the time. There are other changes that would be useful to make. You know, we had a charter review committee not long ago who made a number of more fine-tuning recommendations. And there's some good things to do in that way.
Jerry, don't you think that the 4-year terms, it was a mistake not to stagger those terms?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Bingo.
That, you know, because now you got everybody running for 4-year terms all at the same time in a big field race. And if you're a good candidate and you don't win, you have to sit around for 4 years and try to scheme, to keep your name out front to be able to run again in 4 years. It doesn't make any sense.
What really bothers me on that is not only all council people running at the same time, but having the mayor running at the same time.
Yeah.
It just sucks all the money and all the air right out of the room. Everybody focuses on the mayor's race, but you don't pay as much attention. It's hard for – especially for young newcomers. Mm-hmm. It is really hard for them to get a toehold into this thing.
The one thing that clearly was a mistake to not stagger terms. The other downside of not staggering is that the citizens have to wait 4 years to fix things. Mm-hmm. So if things aren't working well, you got to wait out a 4-year term. Every city that I know of, Dan, that has 4-year terms does half the council in one election and half the council in another election. And the mayor can be 4 years. That's fine. So the mayor and maybe 4 members of the council run one time and 5 members of the council run the next time. So the voters get a say.
So why didn't it happen that way here? Surely people knew that was a pattern.
Yes, they did.
Howard probably knows better than I do. I was not a part of that decision.
No, I mean, there was a lot of discussion about that, but ultimately they didn't think that they could, they couldn't get a consensus around that.
The politicians wanted the certainty of 4 years. Everybody gets 4 years.
All the incumbents, obviously, they said, no, we like that idea of 4 years. That's job security.
That's right.
And we don't have to worry. And they couched it in terms of, we don't have to be political anymore. You know, we're elected to a 4-year term, and we can concentrate on good government, and we can concentrate on the good of the city, and not have to be running around raising money and campaigning all the time. Well, it didn't work out that way.
It didn't work out. Well, Jerry, you just said that it takes 4 years to change something. There has been floated the idea that we need a mayoral recall. Now, I want to remind people that we just reelected John Cranley as mayor last November.
Right.
This is not like, voters didn't know what they were going to get or this happened so long ago. So what do you think about that? Do cities use that and is it used effectively at all?
Yeah, but that's not the problem and that's probably not the solution. It is clear that the current mess at City Hall had its origin in the fact that the mayor summoned the city manager without talking to anybody on the council and said, you're fired. And under the charter, the mayor doesn't have the power to do that. Now, part of the idea behind strengthening the role of the mayor was to strengthen his role as the leader of the council. So as the political leader of the city, what he should have done is to consult with other council members, make sure he's got a majority that shares his view.
Got to know how to count to 5.
And then do it. And he didn't do that. Now, do you recall a guy because of that? No, I don't think you do. But can you make some structural tweaks to the charter that would make it work better, like Howard's suggestion? I think that there are.
We have a question.
Do you think that in Cranley's case that he has some kind of basic misunderstanding of the powers of the mayor, or is it just he's overreaching?
Well, I have an opinion about that. My opinion is that It is definitely overreaching. He's trying to act like he's running the place when he, and so he doesn't have to consult with the council. And that's, that shows itself on, it seems like every issue that comes down the pike, just like the labor deal. Mm-hmm. Off the wall saying 5% for everybody. No talk of anybody or anything like that.
Including the manager who was doing the negotiating.
Exactly. Right. And that's not the spirit of the arrangement. The spirit of the arrangement is the mayor leads the council to good policy decisions. So, yes, it is overreach by the incumbent. No doubt about that. I do want to say one other thing, though. People are quick to leap to structural solutions to problems. The reality is it's a lot about the people that are in these jobs. While I do think that there are some structural changes that should be made, I think it's also about the people that are in the jobs.
Now, you've worked with local governments across the United States.
I have.
Let me just ask a simple question. Is there an ideal form of local government?
No, there are some that work better than others. Every time a local government changes its charter or its setup, it tweaks it through a political process of some sort. People locally going back and forth, as has happened here before. And so people work from the base of what is, and they try and do what they can to make structural tweaks that make it work better. Every professional manager city that I know of, that's a big city, anything over 250,000 of them in the U.S., let's say, does it a little differently. The method of electing council members is different. The method of electing the mayor, the relationship between the mayor and the manager and the council, those are all a little bit different. A lot of it's a culture thing in the individual city.
So is a corollary question, the wrong people can screw up anything?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I think it's possible for, you know, Hamilton County government has about the worst arrangement of governance you could imagine. It is based on the 1851 State of Ohio Constitution. And I worked with they had a charter review committee or a reform commission for Hamilton County a few years ago, and I worked with that, so I know about it pretty well. So it's a terrible setup. But, you know, when the county commission has its act together and they have a good professional administrator, as they do now, things work fine. So it's a terrible setup, a terrible structure, but it works okay because the people in it make it work okay. And that, in the case of Hamilton County, that's been true regardless of whether the commissioners are R's or D's.
Steve from Oakley sent us a email, and he references what you, I don't know, Jerry or Howard, I'm not sure who did this, referenced the whole contract question and said that that's really the basis for a lot of the problems where the mayor stepped in and bypassed the manager and ignored his role. And he says, goes on and he says, the mayor and members of council need to, quote, stay in their lanes. I think the city manager form of government has done so much for Cincinnati. So learning what your role is and embracing it and sticking with it is a big part of this.
Jerry made a great point a few minutes ago about, the structure of city government can be one thing. The individuals, the individual personalities that fill those positions has a whole lot to do about whether or not it works.
Yep.
And I think that's what we're seeing here because you have these two very, very strong personalities who like getting their own way. And they clash.
You mean the manager and the mayor?
Yes, the manager and the mayor. And, it's just not.
Well, just a word on behalf of the professional manager, when the mayor calls in and says you're fired,
right?
There's a disagreement. I disagree with the idea that Cincinnati government has two power centers, the mayor and the manager. It doesn't. The manager works for the council and for the mayor. Now, you talked about overreach and personalities and so on. The fact is that the entirety of the service of the incumbent mayor, the city council has basically been a flat tire. He's gotten away with anything he wants to get away with. He fashions development proposals and brings them to the council full blown. He comes off the wall with a proposal to do pay increases that bypass the collective bargaining process. And council members criticize it. The city manager criticized it, but then they folded and voted for it. This is really the first time, this current mess, is the first time the council has stood up and said, wait a minute, we don't want to do it that way. And to their credit, hats off to them, they're finally doing their job.
Let me just ask a broader question. Again, Jerry, with your experience going around the country, and everybody in Cincinnati has talked about what's happened in Indianapolis and what's happened in Louisville and what's happened in Lexington and what's happened in Columbus with bringing city and county governments together, all in different ways in every one of those places. What do you think? I mean, Cincinnati, Hamilton County has 39 governmental units. Is there
more?
Well, if you start counting school systems.
49, not even counting schools, 49.
49, okay. Gee, how did I lose count? shame on me. Is there anything there? Not, I don't know that it's politically possible because people are just so opposed to it. But is there anything there that form of government moves a modern city forward?
I think the answer is yes, if your perspective is efficiency. The answer is no, if your perspective is political community leadership. Because basically when you're talking about putting the city of Cincinnati and Hamilton County together, you're talking about putting together two separate corporations, basically. The other 48 just continue out there doing their thing. And that's what happened in Louisville. So you put them together.
Yes.
Now, if you put the two together, could they be more efficient with a different structure? You bet. No doubt about it in my mind. You could save money. Louisville, when they merged with Jefferson County in Kentucky, was able to eliminate 700 positions in the combined government. That's enormous. Now, many of those were vacant, so that's not a real number, but it's a significant number nonetheless. So you could be more efficient. You could be more efficient here if you put all the fire departments together. You know, we did a study one time. We had a government cooperation and efficiency project that was funded by the county and the city and the business community, and we did a close look at fire service, just that one service. Taxpayers in Hamilton County are paying $20 million a year, too much, for fire service. And that's because everybody's got their own department. You put them together, you consolidate them, you could increase service. The point of comparison we used was Fairfax County in Northern Virginia, a county of 1.1 million people, so it's bigger than Hamilton County, more people, and they have 32 fire stations. We have 100 in Hamilton County. I mean, come on. And so you could be more efficient. That's a different test.
And on that basic point of fire services, I'd take you back to the 1948 Metropolitan Master Plan. That was an issue in 1948 they wanted to tackle. And we don't seem to be able to get any place, even though people want to get rid of inefficiency in government. Nobody seems to be able to move on this.
It takes leadership. It's very hard. The politics are not good. The pushback from internally within these governments, people that don't want their jobs abolished, because that's how you save money, folks, don't like that, and so they oppose it. But where it happens, and it has happened, Dan, I wouldn't be, you know, dismayed too much. An example is Silverton and Deer Park. They had two separate fire departments. They had a ballot measure years ago to put them together. Both needed new fire stations. And if we put them together, we could do one fire station and have a fire district. And they did it. They were able to get that measure passed. They now have a new fire station, which provides first-rate fire service to both communities, one fire station instead of two. Mm-hmm. So it's happened. It can happen.
And that's the sort of got to bite off things of the size that people can understand and are willing to take on.
Right.
Rather than the totally big thing.
Good
well,
point.
I want to thank Jerry Newfarmer and Howard Wilkinson, who remembers everything, for joining us this afternoon. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer, Selena Reeder. The technical director, Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website WVXU.org. I'm Dan Hurley. Stay tuned on 91.7 for Here and Now, coming up next.